Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to this episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Thank you for listening and your continued feedback. If you have suggestions or you want me to dig in with a specific guest, please write to me at shubhanjan@pitch.link or message me on LinkedIn. Both links available in the show notes. I'm very excited to begin the India-focused series of talks and to introduce you to our first guest in the series, Suraj Dhawan, the president of Indian Exhibition Industry Association, IEIA, the national apex body representing the exhibitions industry in India, comprising of over 400 leading exhibition industry players, sectoral associations, and trade bodies. He is representing IEIA in the prestigious MICE board formed by the Ministry of Tourism, Government of India.
India is the fastest growing exhibition market in the world. As per the latest OFI statistics, the growth of India has been remarkable. And this is due to good availability of exhibition venue infrastructure pan-India. And after COVID, while other markets have been slow to recover, India is now able to offer world-class venues. And since Indian economy is doing reasonably well as compared to rest of the world, this is the market to do business with.
Alumni of the Indian Institute of Management Calcutta, Suraj is attributed with inception and sustainable success of several landmark trade shows in India, including International Engineering Sourcing Show, Infocom India, IFEX India, CAP India, Source India, Logix India, and Plex Connect. A big advocate of Make in India, Export from India, Suraj is an acknowledged specialist in organizing international buyer-seller meets in India in areas including engineering, power and electricals, automobile components, rubber, plastics and chemicals, pharmaceuticals, textiles, and information technology. He is national convener for MICE sector panel and is part of the UFI ISO working group. Suraj is currently directed to the Board of Governors at IIM Calcutta Incubation Park and is focused on mentoring startups all over the country. He is also the founder director of Falcon Exhibitions, India's leading B2B exhibitions management company. Now, on to this insightful episode with Suraj Dhawan. Suraj, welcome to the Trade Show Podcast. I'm delighted to have you as my first guest from India, which is important because it is such a critical market, and you head the association which represents the Indian trade show industry. And I am very thankful that you are actually taking out from your family and you are talking to me this evening. Thank you.
Shivanjan, it's a pleasure to join you today at this fireside chat. And I look forward to a very interesting conversation today.
Absolutely. So let's talk about your journey. I mean, you have a sort of a huge legacy of work and association, and you're involved in, I mean, you know, I had to literally scroll down to actually find your company, and which is like remarkable in the number of things that you do. So tell us about your work and where you are in your overall journey today.
See, currently, I am the managing director of Falcon Exhibitions Private Limited. This company was founded by me and my brother in early 2000. And we are in the business of organizing trade shows and exhibitions in India and all over the world. But having spent about 30 years in the industry, it's time to give back. And a lot of my time is now spent in helping, giving what wisdom, knowledge we have learned to the various alma maters as well as the exhibition industry, which we love the most. So currently, I'm also the president of the Indian Exhibition Industry Association. I'm on board of directors at the IIM Calcutta Innovation Park, and I do a lot of other volunteering activities in wherever I feel that we can add value to nonprofits in helping them grow. I believe that whatever we have learned, it is because of the good knowledge which has been imparted to us by our academic institutions. Whatever we can give them back is our pleasure.
Wonderful. We are focused on the trade show business, so we'll focus on that. From your vantage point, where do you see the industry is today? Where do you see industry is today, and where do you see this headed?
So today, India is the fastest growing exhibition market in the world. As per the latest UFI statistics, the growth of India has been remarkable. And this is due to good availability of exhibition venue infrastructure pan India. And after COVID, while other markets have been slow to recover, India is now able to offer world-class venues. And since Indian economy is doing reasonably well as compared to the rest of the world, this is the market to do business with. And exhibitions are primarily meeting places where buyers and sellers get together. And if an economy is doing reasonably well, both overseas people and Indian people would like to meet. And we feel our exhibitions in India offer and serve that medium. Today, India is aspiring to be a global supplier. And India has a large domestic market as well. So as a growing domestic market, there is a demand for new products, new technologies. There is increasing wealth, and people would like to buy more stuff. And that is where exhibitions can give people choices. Likewise, as India plans to be an exporter as well, exhibitions are a good medium where overseas buyers can come and look at products from India, visit factories, and do good business together. And I feel that we should be doubling our business in the next 3 years. And while the current focus is on tier one cities, Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore, Hyderabad, Chennai, etc., the next phase very soon will be on tier two, tier three cities. There is already good, reasonable capacity expansion happening, and we feel the best is yet to come.
How large is the industry currently, according to you? Do we have any numbers in terms of how big it is?
See, in terms of economic value generated, in Indian rupees, we are about rupees 50,000 crores. In terms of what business is really transacted at exhibitions, which is a really large number. And I would say in terms of US dollars, we would be about $4.5-5 billion.
Okay.
In terms of economic value generated at exhibitions.
Right. And the trade show exhibition itself, the trade show business itself, rather, how large is it? I mean, is there any number available with us?
See, in terms of numbers, it's very difficult to quantify because of the circularity in the economy. This is one of my favorite topics when we are here to assess numbers. But I would say that if an exhibitor is paying $100 to an organizer, the organizer is paying maybe $20 to the venue. The organizer is also paying, say, $50 to the various service partners. So the economic value has got a large multiplier impact.
Sure.
Then when the exhibitors are coming, they are staying in hotels, maybe another $10. They are buying taxis, another $5. They are flying down, another $10. So it's very difficult to quantify what is the real turnover. But I feel that looking at the numbers, all our exhibition companies have recorded their highest ever turnovers in the last year. Likewise for all venues as well.
Right. Do you see any specific sector actually leveraging the trade show business more than others, especially in the B2B space or government-to-government space?
Today, India is having an aspirational desire to climb up the economic value chain. And I feel that there is no topic which is under-addressed or over-addressed. Each of the exhibition topics is having good demand for exhibitions. And we are not saying that there's a leader or a laggard in that. It is a very beautiful time to do exhibitions in India.
Okay. And if we segue into looking at conferences, which is sort of content heavy or typically driven by associations, do you see that also growing the way the B2B space is growing?
See, the convention business in India is growing as well. During the COVID years, there was a major shift over to virtual conferences because people were hungry for knowledge. And now they have come back to physical structures and it has created a lot of pent-up demand. There are fantastic large convention centers which have come up in the last 5 years with a sitting capacity of up to 7,000, 8,000 people as well, which was not there in the past.
True.
So today, India is also bidding for global events of large data. There are cities in India which can give you 50,000 hotel rooms as well. So India is willing and able to offer good convention solutions as well.
That's a very interesting thing, because that was one of the questions I had for you, that when you look at conventions and trade shows, there are obvious hubs all over the world, right? So if you go to US, for instance, you are looking at, say, Las Vegas or Chicago. If you're going to Canada, you're looking at Toronto and Vancouver. Towards the east, you're looking at Dubai. Further east, you're looking at Singapore and so on, right? So these are all known hubs where international events are happening, not necessarily catering to the local economy. I mean, it's a obvious plus for us that we have a huge economy which can be catered to itself. So where do we actually stand vis-a-vis catering venues, which you spoke about, and what kind of industries are actually showing interest?
So this is a very interesting question. India was the host for G20 a few years ago, and there were 60 cities in India which hosted various meetings. So for us, we don't say that the MICE business is limited to a top 3, top 4, top 5. These are existing solutions. But in terms of potential, there is about 50 plus cities in India which can host global conventions of some scale. And these are very interesting destinations like a Srinagar, which can be up in the mountains, Silvian and Himalayan mountains. It could be places like Siliguri, which is again giving an East Indian gateway to Himalayas. There are plans to even set up convention centers in Siliguri. We can talk about green sylvan places like in Cochin, in parts of Kerala. And we also have certain exotic places in Jaipur, in Rajasthan. So whole of India, I would say, either has an active potential or has a latent potential. But the government of India, Ministry of Tourism, in the center, states are working very keen to say that when we are showcasing India, we are not saying a Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore, Chennai.
Right.
We are saying that there are much more, and each of the cities has the capacity to offer good quality convention solutions.
Do you see in the near future any international trade shows moving to India from any of the other locations or anything new coming up?
See, all good global trade shows would do their editions at several places, including India. A good example has been the CPHI show on the pharma, which is happening in Europe. It came to India several years ago. And so many of events like that, the global editions are now having their India editions. And I see this every time.
Right.
All the global exhibition organizers, all the messes are working towards bringing the Indian editions of their well-established shows to India.
Right. Do you see any area where we need to sort of get our act to the global standards? I mean, whether it's logistics or whether it is manpower, do you see any work that needs to be done to both, you know, obviously that will lift our own exhibitions as well and also make us more attractive? Do you see any space where work is required?
See, I feel that post-COVID, the airline connectivity to India has suffered. And if we can have better connectivity, more flights to India, that would make flying to India easier and cheaper. We have our venue acts sorted. We have fantastic hotels in India, which can meet the requirements for business travelers. India's e-visa is the smoothest visa in the world today. One can even apply for a visa from 160 plus countries on their laptops, and visa can come in 2 to 3 days. I feel that if there are more flights which can be connected to India, that will make a big difference. And I think global airlines are now looking how they can increase their connectivity to India. And when we talk about India, we are not saying Delhi, Mumbai, Hyderabad, or Bangalore, or Chennai. There are demands that why shouldn't people fly in from Coimbatore? Why people should not fly from Bhubaneswar, from Jaipur?
Sure.
So each of the MICE hubs are saying that when you are coming to India, we should be able to offer an international connection right at in the same city. And a lot of good work is happening in that.
Tell me, when you think of India, and as I said, I mean, you are looking at it from an extremely informed space. What type of innovations do you think are actually happening out of India, and what may be able to sort of come up, which will make the industry, I mean, which is growing at a faster pace?
See, one big India advantage is that over the last 5 years, several fantastic new venues have come up. We see 3 large venues in Delhi. We see expansion in Chennai. We see expansion in Hyderabad, Bangalore. We see a world-class venue having come up in Mumbai. So what event and MICE and exhibition infrastructure India is offering to the world is absolutely modern and world-class. And I think at that point of time, at this point of time, we have some headway on that. So when people are looking at our venues, they are pleasantly surprised that how IT savvy they are, how well planned they are. And we tell people that, look, you are having venues which are 50 years old, 40 years old, but our venues are less than 5 years old. So they have been kept, built up, keeping the modern requirements in mind. And you will always have a more pleasant experience. In terms of what area where India is also transformed is adaption to technology. Today, event tech in India is supporting the physical exhibitions in a very formidable way. And since India always had an IT advantage, I think the physical exhibition and MICE industry is using it to see that both our exhibitors and visitors have a fantastic, seamless experience for planning for during the show and post-show activities, where I think we have a formidable edge today.
Very interesting. I think that opens up one quick conversation about the tech space, event tech space in India. When you look globally, there are these big, you know, umbrella organizations like Cvent, which sort of dominates the conversation. They're sort of like the sales force of the sales side, right? Do you see actually some Indian event tech company going and growing globally?
We see a lot of that happening. Several of our registration tech companies are now happily bidding and successfully executing projects overseas.
Hmm.
I see that happening from India to Singapore, India to Thailand, India to Dubai, India to Qatar, Bahrain. The next stop is Europe and US, and a lot of good work is already happening.
Would you like to mention a few that you know? I mean, people or company? I'm agnostic. I'm not suggesting that you talk about one or the other, but some people you think are really thinking ahead and are in the cutting edge of this space.
See, this is, again, I would not like to mention names because my friends would say, why did you not mention my name?
Yeah.
A lot of people who are going to listen to this, they know that how Indian registration companies are doing business in Thailand.
Mm.
They are doing business in Middle East and Europe and USA is exploration work has already started. And I can tell you that this work has happened because when people came to India and see how seamless was the work happening in the Indian exhibition, they said that why don't you offer our services for our other global editions? And happily, the servers are sitting here, the payment gateways are sitting here, work is happening here, it is seamless. I would like to arrange demos for you down the line after this. If you'd like to have a series of interviews, I can guide you to the right people who are doing this.
Absolutely. I would love to. It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break,
I am proud to say that with the Bureau of Indian Standards, our association, the Indian Exhibition Industry Association, has come up with standards on how to organize exhibitions. So India will have a BIA standard on organizing exhibitions. We have launched and successfully completed two editions of our exhibition training course. It's a 40-hour course called Professional Exhibition Management, where we have 27 modules taught over 5 days, done by industry professionals, where we are training young and aspiring exhibition professionals how they can get better.
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode. The other area which when I was talking to people both in India as well as overseas, one area, and this is a global problem, so I want to want your views on that. There is a serious shortage of people, professionals who understand what trade shows are and how trade shows actually help you do business. It's not just going and exhibiting, putting up a booth. I mean, that's a very broad stroke thought process, but there is a lot that has to be done to ensure ROI and train people who understand the space, understand the mechanics is under short supply all over the globe. What is the scenario in India?
It's a very interesting question. And I'll tell you what we have been doing in the last 5 years.
Sure.
I'm proud to say that with the Bureau of Indian Standards, our association, the Indian Exhibition Industry Association, has come up with standards on how to organize exhibitions. So India will have a BIA standard on organizing exhibitions. We have launched and successfully completed two editions of our exhibition training course. It's a 40-hour course called Professional Exhibition Management, where we have 27 modules taught over 5 days, done by industry professionals, where we are training young and aspiring exhibition professionals how they can get better. And this has the, we have completed 2 editions. We are receiving requests from various countries from all over the world that can you do these courses for us. In the coming times, we are launching 3 more training courses. One training we are launching on the essentials of AI. We feel that people need to be taught how AI can be a formidable tool for the exhibition industry, how they can use them. Then we also realize that we have to entice younger people to enter the exhibition and MICE business. We are very soon launching a course on 40 hours of MICE essentials. This is primarily targeted towards people who are yet to pick up their first job. And this we would like to do. We are in discussions with universities and colleges where people who are looking at career options, we want to tell them that MICE industry could be a good career option for you. So that is again a very intense course which is being developed, which will be launched. In addition to that, we are thinking that we need to create certain modules on how sustainability should be encouraged. So we are going for another training, masterclasses on sustainability, where we want to make a de-rigor for that. These are some of the things which are happening in India, and we feel that if anybody in the world would need our expertise, we would be happy to conduct these courses in different geographies as well.
Wonderful. So overall, you do not see the lack of manpower as a big issue.
It is a major issue, and that is why we are planning that how we are going to cater to a future where as the number of events and exhibitions increase, we would need to have more senior management, more people on the floor, and this can only be done when the new gen of people would feel that they would like to do a job which is not on a computer, but actually at a floor, actually going out and doing stuff.
You touched upon an interesting point about actually two. I would like to dig in a bit. One is AI, the other is sustainability. And both of these are very big things globally, right? Sustainability in exhibitions and trade shows and use of AI. So let's sort of take one at a time. Let's start with sustainability. Where do you see is the maximum impact that trade shows can have vis-a-vis making themselves sustainable?
See, when we are talking about taking care of our environment, I feel that charity begins at home. If I can delve in a very Indian way to look at things, there are 2 things which are very dear to me. One is Prakriti and the other one is Karma. Prakriti is the mother nature. And whatever challenges, whatever things you will do to that, the nature of Prakriti is to regain the balance. It can create a very happy balance. It can create a very, very tough and difficult balance. But you would have to bear that. The Hindu philosophy of karma is you will get what you will reap. And if you are not understanding that how sustainability is nothing but karma and trying to say that Prakriti, our mother nature, will benefit after we follow sustainable practices, I think you are taking a very short-term view. Today, how the world is calculating carbon credits, the exhibition industry needs to be ready to say that this is how we are contributing. Things will change. But if we don't follow the sustainable practices, we would be losers in the long term. The key question is that what are the sustainable practices? It's very easy to do a one-hour session on sustainability, but to say, what can I do to say that this is a sustainable practice is a matter of creating the ecosystem. We are in the process of creating what all things can be done as a manual for sustainability. And this we will be soon be sharing with you. Whatever we are trying to do, we would like to make maximum things in the open domain so that people can learn what we have done. I feel that what little changes we are going to do today will have a big impact in the future. And we are not afraid or shy to make those little changes. A few years ago, flying by aeroplanes would need a jacket, a tie, and a business class suit. Now people are relaxed very casually. They attire very casually when they take a flight. Same thing may happen in B2B exhibitions in the future. But if you calculate how much energy saving will happen if everyone is wearing a half-sleeve shirt today and the aircon can be put up by 3 degrees, it's a very interesting calculation.
True, true. I think the discussions have been sort of centered around things like reusability. A lot of discussion in sustainability is linked to reusability, whether it's your lanyard or the boots that you put up, especially if you're doing multiple exhibitions, participating in multiple exhibitions every year. How do you take it? How it is transported? How it can be fundamentally reused so that you're not doing it every time and thus consuming things that you should not. But yes, absolutely. I think less air conditioning is something, and that's something easily done actually, thinking about it.
See, I have created a top 100 list on sustainable practices. Down the line, in a few weeks from now, I can do a separate podcast with you only on what are 100 good karmic practices which can be used to make your living more sustainable. And it starts from a very simple thing of carrying your own pen and a notepad in your bag and not using a throwaway pencil or a pen or a notepad at the convention. Or if you are issuing notepads, doing something, give them a ring-binded notepad which people can take home and use for the future. There are a lot of practices we are thinking, we are doing, and my list is 100 plus.
Wonderful. Yeah, we should do that. I think that will be very interesting. Because again, the point is that if we do not make these discussions mainstream, if people don't actually think about it when they're not really in the process of actually ordering the swag or ordering the gifts or whatever giveaways of their booths and stalls, I think the discussions have to happen beforehand.
See, we do a lot of deep thinking in that. I'll tell you another example, which is one of my favorite topics. At a meal being served, should it be a buffet spread? Should it be served on the table? Or should people be told to select what they want to eat and order a la carte? I can tell you, order a la carte, consumption wastage can be much lesser because people are eating what they want to eat. And telling people that start with small size portions where refilling can be done on demand can also save a lot of food. Telling people that the real fast foods of the world are not your chips and I would say stuff like chips or biscuits, they can be fresh fruits or apples or bananas It can make a big difference. But then it's how you start and how you will end. I would feel that the current generation of youth who are joining are much more mindful. They are very happy not to have grandiose presentations, but very functionally utilitarian presentations, where they say that let's make an impact, but let us not create a big impact on wasteful resources as well.
Sure, sure. Yeah, we would love to revisit this and have another conversation a few weeks down the line and actually dig deeper into this. The other thing that I want to talk to you about is AI. Again, when I'm talking to people, obviously AI is all over. Everything is getting impacted with AI. A lot of the discussion that I hear is focused on the attendee experience piece. A lot of the AI discussion that I am having with, say I'm talking to Adam Perry or any of these guys, Tom Gazzavi, guys who are working on this area, they are all talking about primarily the attendee experience and how that can be made better, starting with matchmaking and you know the stuff. Do you see that being the first port of call for AI in trade shows, or is it something else?
Again, a very interesting question. I'm giving you my take on this.
Sure.
See, my guru Yogananda has always said that one should always live in the moment. The current generation and the current style of living has been not living in that moment, but postponing it or creating stuff which can be reviewed in the future. To give you an example, I come and watch a very interesting keynote. Rather than focusing on that keynote speaker, most of us are busy recording that keynote on our phones and saying we'll watch it sometimes later or we would like to share with our friends. By doing that, while you are physically sitting there, you have not enjoyed or learned from that moment. You have actually postponed it. A lot of trillions of megabyte or gigabyte of information is currently being recorded for a possible use in the future. And I can tell you, nobody is going to revisit them in the future. So one has to be very mindful of how you are living that moment. I always tell people that when you are at an exhibition or a conference, focus on the stuff. What is the point of you coming to an exhibition and being there, attending a conference, but opening your laptop and answering your emails on the side? So it would be very good practices that people understand that if you are focused on that 20 minutes of that keynote, your takeaways are significantly higher rather than those 200 recordings which you would like to watch someday, but you'll never end up watching. And AI is a great tool in helping you plan. AI should be used as an assistant for focused planning. I am seeing a lot of people who are today totally depending on AI for whatever paperwork or whatever responses they are creating. People are not even reading that. So if we are creating AI documents if you are creating AI documents for to be read by another AI device, what is the fun and joy in that? We have to be very clear that when we are using AI tools, they should be support to the human brain. They cannot replace the human brain. That is what I feel. And there are a lot of good tools which are happening. AI is also majorly responsible for pushing the cause of sustainability. To give you an example, earlier to shoot a video ad, you may end up spending $500,000 for getting the props and the devices and the machines. But with proper use of AI, you can create the same experience without even going to a studio. So that is saving a lot of good cost, good money. But this is not the end. People who are creating those things are creating it for human experience. And human experiences are best served by being empathetic. They are being best served by being responsive. I feel that the fad will get slightly easier in times to come. Today, 70 to 80% of social media posts are being created by AI. And people can say that, look, he's a lazy bone. There is nothing actually created. It's just one command given. The respect will decrease in future. So human ingenuity, human way of thinking should be supplemented by AI. It should not be handed over to AI.
And do you see any specific area, like, of course, the session bit, I understand you be there, AI can actually capture, summarize, give you the data later to for you to sort of supplement what you have learned, but you don't have to do it. I mean, you're right. I mean, there are 300 people in the room. Everybody is recording the same thing. It doesn't make any sense. It can be made available to everybody by one single recording. I mean, all of us are wasting time, not paying attention.
But who is consuming those 100 recordings or 1,000 recordings in the end? That is one question people should answer.
I agree. Nobody, as you said, nobody. Nobody has time. You go back, you're back in your job. You have no time to look, open up the keynote and do anything. I totally agree with you. And I think there's a lot that can happen. So do you see any specific areas where people should be actually applying AI and possibly they're not doing it already?
See, I feel that in social media, in terms of creative media, AI is a good strategic tool. But you cannot replace human thinking with AI. You should use AI for your insights, but you need to develop models yourself. Today, the way people are, they are saying, okay, give a good proper ChatGPT command and you will have a report, which you will never read it, but it looks good, you will send that report. And somebody else would say, okay, I've got this report, I don't want to read it, let my AI tool summarize it. So what is the fun? Where we actually went, and tomorrow later, 3 months, 3 years, 30 years later, when there would be some cross-referencing, people would say decisions were based on garbage.
True. Very interesting. Yeah. I mean, AI as a assistance is the way, not as a replacement. I think, but there's a lot of debate going on in multiple areas. So, I mean, it's not restricted to trade shows, obviously. I think it's a fundamental shift, sort of like what internet did in the 90s. It made a fundamental shift. AI is a fundamental shift.
Absolutely. I call 5 fundamental shifts in the past. When the telephone got discovered, people started using telephone.
Right.
When the camera was discovered, people started recording memories on camera. These two trends held us good for about 50 years till 90s. Then one fine day, email came. Again, a fundamental shift. One fine day, internet came, a fundamental shift. One fine day, everything got converged into a handheld device, a fundamental shift again. But today, there is a lot of relaxation where people are saying that I would not do it, but AI would do it. People say it's a fundamental shift. I would say that people should learn to measure and monitor how they can use AI. Rather than saying that we will stop thinking and ask AI to do the thinking for you. If AI is doing the thinking for you and you are totally dependent without analyzing what it has thought for you, then maybe your salary check should also go to the AI.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to wrap up this conversation, how do you think the Indian trade show industry can play a leading role globally when you think of both sustainability and AI? Do you see a path? Do you have a vision that this is where we should be sort of making a big difference?
See, how Indian exhibition industry is going to adapt to event tech and AI, I'm sure in the next few years, we are going to make role models. And that we would be happy to pass on to the world to say how you can make this work more efficient. Sustainability is an ever-growing subject. And I think at this point of time, a lot of good work is already happening in Europe with the European exhibition organizers. We need to learn from their best practices and arrive at an India model. So an India model is not ready right now because things are fundamentally different in India. But that model will come, and that model will also get adapted in future.
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit tradeshowengage.com. That is tradeshowengage.com.
Wonderful. Suraj, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I will look forward to talking to those event tech guys out of India. And I will have to come back to you on the sustainability conversation in the next few weeks.
This is not my last podcast with you. I'm sure I'll have a series of podcasts with you. And India is the country to look at this point of time in the world. If any of the overseas organizers, service partners, etc., are willing to look at India, they are happy to contact me. We can point them in the right direction.
Sure.
If you are looking for India, India is looking for you. The time is now.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a pleasure, and we keep in touch. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a BizCast original podcast and is produced for PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.